message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
It is Mother's Day, and we are going to focus on that. The plan was for Teresa to preach today and for me to listen. And we've been at district council for the better part of the week, got back late Thursday, left Monday, so been gone all week. And it was fine with me because she was going to be doing the preaching. I didn't have any prep work to do. And then the sick thing kicked in, and then it got better, and then it got worse, and this morning was worse still. And so she has stayed home. And obviously, somewhere in the middle of the week, I determined that maybe I'll be preaching. And yet it's been a busy week. With my mom as well. So I've gone to the archives. And I found something from way back and dusted it off and tweaked it and added to it and took from it and massaged it a little bit. And I'm going to bring it to you here in just a little bit. And at the conclusion of the service, we want to give away some prizes. I got 4 big gift cards, Giovanni's, a couple of them, and Hobby Lobby. So if you want to eat, I got something for you. If you want to shop, I got something for you, all right? And then everybody will get the bundt cake, as we said, on the way out. But thank you for being here, everybody. Just thank you. It is Mother's Day. We want to honor moms. You know, Mother's Day has fallen on hard times, along with Father's Day as well. The political nonsense of this world. I've told somebody, you know, just pray for me that I will make heaven. Well, why wouldn't you make heaven? Because I'm getting bitter. I'm getting angry. Do you find yourself getting just a little upset with some of the nonsense going on? Yeah, and so I have to keep my sanity and my salvation. I just got to pray through a lot of times because of all the nonsense. But Mother's Day and Father's Day, they're talking about now, we don't need to use the words mothers and fathers because that's not fair to others, and there's all kinds of families and different things like that, and so let's just scratch that. Let me just tell you, around here, if you're visiting with us, I want you to know this. We're going to honor mothers on Mother's Day, and we're going to celebrate and honor fathers on Father's Day, and we're going to hopefully honor and celebrate them throughout the year. You know, mother ought to be recognized and celebrated more than just on Mother's Day. This just ought to be a little above and beyond. Amen? Amen. And so happy Mother's Day. We say that without apology. Are you good with it?
Yes.
And listen, Mother's Day, it's a good day, but it's a hard day as well. And long before political correctness and all of that, I struggled a little bit because it's Mother's Day, but I know so-and-so, if they're there, they just lost their mother. There are some of you who lost your mother recently. Some of you lost your mother when you were young. Some of you maybe didn't have a great childhood coming up, and mother and dad were absentee a lot. And so I understand all of that. But at the same time, we want to honor those mothers who are honoring God and who are doing it right and serving well. And then we want to just encourage you to know that if you aren't given the best example, you can break that chain and you can set a good example for generations after you. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And hopefully this will be something for everybody, just not moms. Title of the message today is Thanks, Mom. And that is my mom up on the screen. That is my most recent picture of her. For those of you, most of you know, but she has been diagnosed with an aggressive cancer, and she has had 2 rounds of chemotherapy. The first round was really bad, went back to the hospital. She's been in round 2. It's not been as bad, but it hasn't been good. So now we've got to decide if there's going to be a round 3. It's breast cancer, so they can take that off, but they're concerned that it could be in other parts of the body, so they want to do the chemo regardless, just to make sure that it's not. So anyway, she started losing her hair, and so she just shaved her head. And my dad didn't have a bunch of hair to begin with, but he had some, and he had a lot on his face, and so he shaved his head just to support her, and so that's my mom and dad.
Praise God.
Yeah, and they are a blessing. Now, if there's something you don't like about me, you can blame them. If there's things you do like about me, you can credit them. I'm going to tell you this, a lot of the goodness going on in my life, it's because of those 2 people.
Amen.
Right there. And so today I say thanks to my mom. She'll be watching this later. And thanks, Dad, as well. Now, Father's Day is coming. So, Dads, we're going to talk about mom a lot. You're included, but it's not your day just yet. I want to go to Proverbs 31. We talk about the Proverbs 31 woman a lot. And I will jokingly refer to Teresa as my Proverbs 30 woman. or sometimes Proverbs 29, just leaving room for improvement. You know, I don't want her to quit trying. She's not here, so I'm saying stuff that, you know. I started to call this the Proverbs 29 woman. You can do better. Come on, men. Give me an amen. Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm going to go to verse 10. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Father, we ask your blessing on the word this morning. Help us to take it in. Help us to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Who can find a virtuous wife? The word virtuous. You know, there's a shortage of virtue today. But there shouldn't be in the church. Who can find a virtuous wife? The way that it's worded, it's like they're not everywhere, but they are there to be found. I want you to know I have found one. Husbands, you should whisper in your wife's ear right now and go, me too. That'll help you out. In other translations, instead of the word virtuous, you'll find this. Who can find a wife of strong character? Some will say noble character. One translation says, who can find a capable wife? Another says, who can find a competent wife? And I'm going to leave some of that alone. And then the Message translation. I love the Message at the right times. It's just a perfect translation. It says this, a good woman is hard to find. Man, that's just South Texas all right there, isn't it? A good woman, hard to find. Well, I want you to know I found me a good woman. How many men could raise their hand and say, I found a good woman? You should raise your hand, sir, if she's sitting by you. Be very careful here. I'm not trying to set you up. Why the shortage of virtue? Why the shortage of character and nobility and honor? Why such a shortage now? Have you noticed kids are losing their innocence too soon? You know, growing up too quick, but then get to a certain point and we never grow up and we just stay immature forever? Have you noticed? Yes. Well, why the shortage in virtue and honor and all of these things? Well, the breakdown of the family and the deterioration of the family unit has been going on for years and years. And so the stuff that we're hearing out loud, the stuff that is more blatant, has been underground for a long, long time. The divorce rate used to be pretty small. It's pretty large now. And we're not coming against divorced people. And I know, you know, the Bible says God hates divorce. But you know what I found out? Divorced people hate divorce too. Nobody likes divorce. It happens. A lot of you have gone through that. God loves divorced people. There is life after divorce. There is grace and mercy after divorce. So we're not slamming that at all. But we're just saying that too long we have pushed God aside. You know, it started years ago. We'll take prayer out of schools. We'll take the Ten Commandments off the wall. And now you can't do this because the word Jesus is in there. And so we just keep pushing God further and further and further away. And now we're dealing with the consequence of saying, God, we got this. We don't need you. And so there's this disconnect between, you know, the traditional way things used to be and the way things are now. And the way things used to be, people say, oh, that's antiquated. That doesn't work. That's no good. I'm going to tell you, it worked pretty good. Yeah. And yeah, there's growing and there's change and there's things that happen and there's things that need to happen. But we have lost some things that we should have never have let go of. The Bible says that the older women should teach the younger women. And that's part of the reason we have the breakdown, is that there's a lot of younger women who are not learning anything from any older woman, not from their mom, not at church. A lot of them don't go to church. A lot of them don't have a good example of a mom. And so they're just learning what they can on TikTok. I'm just going to tell you, there's not a whole lot of good to learn on TikTok. YouTube. And some of these things can be useful. Man, I've gone to YouTube many times when it comes to working my car. I'm glad it's there. But how many of you know that we need an example of a man and an example of a woman to model after? One guy said, let me go to Father's Day mode for just a little bit. He said, you got to see a man to be a man. You learn from the example of others. And so we've lost the example, and so now the virtuous wife is even harder to find. I want to give you 4 points this morning. I'm going to take them all out of Proverbs chapter 31. And might do a little interactive here in just a little bit. We'll see how it feels when we get there. But the first one is found in verse 27. All chapter 31, the first point, verse 27, says this about the virtuous wife. She looks well to the ways of her household. She looks well to the ways of her household. The house, that's the structure. That's the building. That's the studs and the sheetrock and the paint. The home is the family. You can build a house, but you also need to build a home, right? It's more than just a structure, but it's inside the structure what's going on. But it says here, it doesn't say house or home. It says she looks well to the ways of her household. For me, the word household is both. It's the home, it's the structure, because you do need to take care of that. But it's also the family. It's what the house holds, and the house holds people. And so mom has a big part, a big role in taking care of the household. Moms do a lot. And it used to be that, you know, there were stay-at-home moms and a few moms work. Now most moms work and a few stay at home. And some of that is thanks to our government and making life impossible. Won't go down that road this morning. And then some of that is because we just get accustomed to a standard of living that maybe we should sacrifice a little bit. We're not here to slam anybody. Whether a mom works outside the home or doesn't, moms do a lot. And sometimes if they work outside the home, they do twice as much because they're not getting much help in the home while they're going to work. Moms do a lot. After an elementary teacher had given her class a science lesson on magnets, she gave them a quiz to see what they'd learned. One of the questions read this: my name starts with M, has six letters, and I pick up things. Remember, we're talking about magnets. What am I? Half the class answered with the word mother. I wonder why. Because mothers pick up a lot of things. And I don't know why it is that socks and underwear can't make it to the basket. The floor is where they go. What is a mom? I haven't seen this in years. I told you this came out of the archives, and this is right here, but this is what mom is. She's the baby feeder, changer, bather, rocker, burper, hugger. She's a problem solver, grocery shopper, floor mopper, homework helper, meal cooker, laundry cleaner, boo-boo healer, letter writer, wrinkle ironer, gift buyer, shoe tire, fight breaker, cake baker, ride giver, lifesaver, story reader, and whatever else needs to be done. She clips 10 fingernails and 10 toenails for each young child regularly. She returns library books. She drops off dry cleaning. She picks up dry cleaning. She has pictures framed. She replaces batteries in everything that ticks, whirls, or beeps. She attends the school meetings and the PTAs and the conferences. She delivers forgotten lunches, forgotten homework, and forgotten athletic gear. She attends church, weddings, showers, potlucks, and more. After all of this, she brings her husband a glass of tea as he sits in the recliner. And I just want to tell you, that is somewhat biblical. I'd like to prove this with the Bible, if I may. Proverbs chapter 31, and you got to go King James. And by King James, I mean these and thous and uths, you know, doeth and goeth and readeth, the ETH. So this is the Proverbs 30. Here's part of Proverbs 31 in the King James, talking about the virtuous woman. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. She considereth a field and buyeth it. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She layeth her hands to the spindle. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, that's in there. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And today she goeth to Walmart to get things her family needeth. This woman is doing a lot of thingeth. And after all of that, verse 23, it says, her husband, first mention of him, is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She's doing all of that, and he is sitting. I love the Bible. Moms do a lot of things. And sometimes moms do a lot of things that don't get noticed. Men too, but it's not your day. Sometimes you do things and you don't, you know, it's like around here, we'll have a board meeting where we're like, what do we need to do at the church? Well, we need some new furniture. Well, we'll spend some money and get some new furniture. And I like that because everybody walks in and goes, ooh, furniture. Or you get some paint on the walls. Ooh, the room looks nice. But then sometimes it's like, we got to fix the roof. We got to spend $10,000 to fix some leaks on it. What? We got to spend $10,000 and people ain't even going to notice. They're going to walk in. They're not even going to notice. Hey, the roof is really nice now. You know, sometimes there are things you got to do and they don't get noticed unless they don't get done. One afternoon, a man comes home from work, finds total mayhem in his house. His three children were outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud, with empty food boxes and wrappers strewn about all over the front yard. The door of his wife's car was open, as was the front door to the house. Entering the house, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over. The throw rug was wadded up against the wall. In the front room, the TV was loudly blaring the cartoon channel, and the family room was strewn with toys and various items of clothing. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink. Breakfast food was spilled on the counter. Dog food was spilled on the floor. A broken glass lay under the table, and a small pile of sand was spread out by the back door. He quickly rushed up the stairs, stepping over toys and piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried she might be ill or maybe something worse, something serious could have happened. He found her in the bedroom, lounging, still curled in the bed in her pajamas, reading a novel. She looked up at him, smiled, and asked how his day went. He looked at her, bewildered, and said, well, what happened here today? She again smiled and answered, well, you know, every day when you come home from work and ask me what in the world did I do today? Yeah. Well, today I didn't do it. Some things don't get noticed unless they don't get done. I would say it would be good for all of us to take time and to look around, to observe, and to notice some of the things that are regularly done and you just haven't been aware. Husbands, if there's peace in your home, some level of order, laughter, joy, a lot of that has to do with the virtuous wife that you married. And so today, we want to honor her. So here is the interactive part. Put it up on the screen. Everybody with me, would you say this right here? Thanks, Mom, for all you do. One more time. Thanks, Mom, for all you do. Point number two. You find it in verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. The virtuous woman, strength and honor are her clothing. The virtuous woman is a strong woman. She knows her value. She knows her worth. And because of that, she has strong children. The virtuous woman is strong, and she supports those greatly in her household. Two things I want to bring up under this. Number one, Mama will fight for you. Talking about children, she'll fight for you. Don't make Mama mad. You know what I mean? You don't want to make Mom mad. Even the soft-spoken, reserved mom, even the laid-back, soft-spoken mom will become something else if you push the wrong buttons. Teresa's pretty laid back and soft-spoken, but I know where the buttons are. I've accidentally pushed them. I don't push them on purpose. Now, you take the mom who already is a strong temperament, has a type A personality, you don't want to make her mad. If you make her mad, you need to run. See, Mama has your back. Mom will fight for you. Now, there's been a little bit of shift in our culture. I grew up in the day that if you got a spanking at school, and yes, you could get spankings at school. I don't think you can get that anymore. But if you got a spanking at school, you'd go home and you'd get one there too. They didn't even ask, why'd you get a spanking? You got one? Come on, let's get another. Why? Do you want to hear my side? Nope. You got one. I'm getting another. Anybody? There was just trust. If you got one, you deserved it. Now we've gone to the other extreme. Kid comes home, tells his mom, the teacher looked at me funny. Mom goes up there and wants to beat her up. Why'd you look at my kid funny? You know, I think we need to be slow to come to the defense of our kids, to our teachers, and to our coaches. I think we need to hear both sides. We went from one extreme to another. Mama will fight for her kids, but it does need to be a righteous fight. It needs to be a righteous fight. Sometimes when your kids get in trouble or kids get griped at by the coach or the teacher or whatever, sometimes you need to take that moment, make it a teaching moment, and you need to support those that are trying to help your children as well. But then there are times that you're going to have to defend your kid, and moms will do it. Mama will fight. Second thing, not only will mom fight for you, mom will cry with you. Personal example. This was years ago. I don't know. Maybe I was 7, 8. I don't know. I'm on a baseball team. I'm one of those that make it possible for others to be starters. And back when I sat on the bench, there was no 2-inning minimum play. You could sit on the bench the whole game. I know because I did. And when I did play, right field. There was a game, and we were winning pretty handily, and the coach came and said, everybody today is going to get to bat twice. Now, most people, the starters always batted at least twice. He's talking to me and my partners on the bench. We're going to all bat twice today. And I'm like, whoo, because, you know, you want to bat. Everybody batted twice except for one kid. Yeah, I know. One more time. Oh, yeah. We ran out of time, and I don't remember. Maybe some kid batted 3. I'm sure I counted. I was a counter all the time. But I remember feeling the pain of being overlooked and rejected. And I held it in because, hey, I'm an 8-year-old man. I went to the car with my bat and my gear. Mom was there. I think Dad had come in a separate car. He was gone. So I got in Mom's car, opened the back door. I got in. As soon as I hit the seat, man, I just fell apart. I melted. I just boo-hooed all over the back seat. You know what Mom did? She boo-hooed with me. See, moms will cry with you. Dads will tell you to shake it off. Dads will tell you to dry it up. Be a man. Mom will cry with you. I was glad I got in Mom's car that day and not Dad's. You know, you need Mom and Dad. So moms will fight for you, but then moms will cry with you. Because, see, Mom is there for you. And whenever you're in pain, whether it's the pain of rejection like I felt that day or some other type of pain, the pain of loss, especially when you're young, but even as you get older, one of the first people that you run to is Mom. Whenever you hurt, a preacher said this once, and I thought, man, that is so true. He said, sir, Dad, do your best. Bathe your child, play with your child, do everything you can with that child, spend time with that child. But I can tell you, when your child stumps his toe and he's hurting, you can be right there with your arms up, and he's going to run right past you and jump in Mama's arms. There's something about pain. I want to go see Mom. Mom will cry with you. See, this is why the passing of Mom, one of the hardest things to deal with in life. Because when you lose someone, the person you run to is Mom. When you lose Mom, who do you run to? Can I just say, a lot of you here today, some of you lost your mom 30, 40 years ago, some a lot more recent. And if you'll go back and remember the Heaven series that we taught on in great depth, I think 5 or 6 weeks we spent just on the topic of heaven, and we so undersell heaven. Heaven is a lot more than gates of pearl, streets of gold. I'll say it like I said back then. I don't really care about pearl and gold. I don't mind living on a dirt road. It's who I'm with that matters the most. So we talk about gates of pearl and streets of gold. Meanwhile, while you're on the earth, don't be vain. We don't want to be and guilty of vanity, but hey, but look forward to the gold and the pearls and the jewelry later. No? And now, if you remember, I shared too that, and this has been documented by hundreds of people, people who have had these near-death experiences and have actually visited heaven. That's happened numerous times. The Apostle Paul, it happened to him. But one of the common things they share is that when they got to the gates, they didn't see Jesus. Who they saw was people they knew that had gone on before them. It was like a welcoming committee. And that group of people would escort them to the Lord Jesus. And I just tell you, you're going to see Mom again. I firmly believe Mom will be at the front of the welcoming committee. So that's a great thing that we have a heaven to look forward to and that there's going to be a reunion. Amen? Amen. And right now, there's a sting and there's a pain for some of you. And we pray the God of peace and all comfort would help you in days just like this. Amen? So here's the interactive part. Here's where I want you to join me on this. Put it up there for me, Patricia. Thanks, Mom, for your support. She'll fight for you. She'll cry for you. Thanks, Mom, for your support. The third thing, in verse 28, it says this. Her children rise up and call her blessed or blessed. Now, probably not many children in here are waking up and calling Mom blessed on a daily basis. The very next verse says that her husband praises her. It's not my habit to walk around the house going, praise Teresa. Thank you, Jesus, and Teresa. I exalt thee, Teresa. No, her children call her blessed. Her husband praises her. This speaks to her value and to her worth and the fact that the children and the husband recognize her value and her worth, and they give honor where honor is due. And the things that we say, yes, you may not say, I praise you, Teresa, but how about this? How about just no talk back? How about less rolling of the eyes? You know, you don't have to praise me, but can you just quit smarting off? Can you quit rolling the eyes? How about just a little bit more thank you and less attitude and less drama? Recognize the worth and the value of your mom and then give honor where honor is due. You know, we talk about this all the time, but love, it's a word that is greatly abused and misused. It's a word that has lost some value because of the way that we use it. And it's a word in the English language that has great limitations. I mean, I love my country. I love a good hot dog. I love my wife, right? Same word for different things. Well, in the Hebrew, the Greek, there's more language to expound on this more, but we know that love is more than just saying, I love. Love is an action word. Love is a verb. And if you really love someone, then there is a demonstration to back that up and to support it. For God so loved the world that he did something, right? He gave his only begotten son. That we could have salvation. So real love will have something to back it up. If a man says he loves his wife, but he won't work and he won't support her, then that word has been cheapened. So love has action behind it. Real love has a demonstration. Jesus, the Bible says, demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. So words are important. The Bible says that words have the power of life and death. Your words matter. And I would say this. The words, I love you, need to be in your home. And if they're not, and for some of you, it's like, well, of course, amen. You don't understand. For a long time, those words weren't in my home growing up. I would write them on the birthday card. Love you, Dad. Give Dad the card and go get me something to drink in the kitchen while he read the card. And then come back. Thanks, son. Thanks. Hey, what's on the TV? You know, this intimacy, where there's power in those words. Don't let the enemy take those words from your home. Amen. Tell your mom you love her. Tell your dad you love him. Tell your siblings. Oh, this is stepping out there. Tell your siblings you love them. Love is a good word. So we're not trying to lessen the word matters. Speak the words, but there also needs to be some action behind the words. And let me just tell you one action I'd like to comment on before we go to the final point. Saying no is an action. And saying no is often tied to love. A mother overheard her 18-month-old daughter, 18 months, and she was rehearsing different noises she had learned. And the little girl's saying this, sheep, baa, baa, cow, moo, moo, doggy, woof, woof, mama, no, no. Yeah, love has to say no at times. Love can't always say yes. And I'll say this, Mom, if you're not saying no sometimes, you ain't doing it right. There's got to be some no in your vocabulary. You can't just say yes to everything. Mom, can I have more cookies before supper? Sure, why not? I want my kid to like me, so yes, have a cookie. No, sometimes you got to say no. Real love is going to have boundaries, and good parents establish boundaries. Good parents teach right from wrong. Love doesn't seek just to appease and to make the other party feel good. I want to give you an example in my life again of when my mom told me no, and I did not like her for it. In sixth grade, I signed up for band, and I started playing drums in the sixth grade. I played drums in the seventh grade and in the eighth grade. And then it's time to go to the ninth grade. And my friends who played drums with me and the band with me, they were getting out of band because they were going to go do football. Well, I decided I'm going to quit band too. So I told Mom, hey, Mom, I'm quitting band. I'm going to do football. She said, you can do football, but you're going to do band. And she wasn't this blunt like I'm making it sound. She was kind about it, but her no was firm. She said, I want you to stay in band. I don't want to stay in band. I want you to stay in band. And this is the deal she made. Stay in band your freshman year. And then after your freshman year, if you want to get out of band, you can get out of band. I stayed in band my freshman year, my sophomore, my junior, my senior. I got in stage band. I went to college, was in stage band 2 or 3 years there. I wouldn't play the piano today if I'd quit band when I wanted to. It's doubtful if Braden would be playing guitar and leading you in worship this morning had I quit band when I wanted to. See, the ripple effect of me staying in music is large in my life. And the reason I stayed in music is because Mom told me no. There is power in the word no. And there is power in the word yes. And moms and dads, you need to be praying and you need to know when to say no and when to say yes. You've got to set boundaries for your children. See, your children will not always know what's best for them. Now, I'm going into the ninth grade. I'm 14, 15 years old, and she's telling me no. I'm not just talking to little kids. Now, as they get older, you may have to deal with them a little differently than you would when they were 5 and 6. I get that. But Mom and Dad, you're there to guide them. Your children will not always know what is best for them. You cannot take the position that it's their life, therefore they get to make all the decisions. I want to say that again, because the world out there is teaching us that it's the life of a child. We know he's 6 years old, but it's his life, and if he thinks he's a girl, we need to support that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Your children don't always know what's best for them. They've been given to you. It is your responsibility to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Your children are under your care, and you're responsible to guide them in the way that they should go. Proverbs 22:6 says that very thing. Train up a child in the way he should go, not in whatever he or she wants to do. Listen, no is not always appreciated. I didn't appreciate it for a while. But later, they'll rise up and call you blessed. And my mom, if she's watching, I thank you for making me stay in band one more year.
Amen.
Put it up on screen for me, Patricia. Say it with me, church. Thanks, Mom, for loving us. The final point, verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's no secret that women have done much for the home and for the church. And especially in days gone by, that home, it was all that woman. I think men have stepped up to the plate, and we do a better job now in caring for the home, and that's awesome, and it should be that way. But women have done much for the home and much for the church. Women have kept the home going, and women have kept the church going. Women have often filled in where men should have been. Now, I'm going to say something under this point right here. Talking about good moms. And mom, don't be too hard on yourself. You're not going to be perfect. Nobody is. But you're doing better than you know. But I want you to hear this, church. Good moms don't always go to church. I don't want you to conclude, well, that mom doesn't go to church, therefore that mom is not as good as a church mom. I know some church moms not too good. And I know some moms outside of church, pretty good. Now, I'm not saying mom shouldn't go to church. Mom, you're here. I just don't want you to pick up the attitude that you're a better mom than somebody else just because you go to church. You know, I read this the other day. It's like going to church. It's like being a patient and being treated with meds. Just because you're in the hospital doesn't mean everything is taking effect on you. And there's a lot of people in church, it doesn't mean everything's taking effect on them. They just go to church. If church is not helping you, if church is not changing you, if the Bible, if your relationship with the Lord is not helping you be better, then you're missing out. You ought to be a good mom and go to church. You ought to be a good mom and pray. You ought to be a good mom and worship. And there's a lot of good moms out there who need a good church. So be a good witness to them. And let them come in. And let's good moms all together teach the younger women how to be the good mom and the virtuous woman. Mom, I want to say this before we wrap up. You have great influence on your children. I started to title this message, Mom, the Great Influencer. You have great influence on your children. In Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says this to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. See, Timothy had a mother and a grandmother that had influence on his life. In the message, it says this way, Paul says to Timothy about his honest faith, and what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice, and now to you. The faith has been handed down. I believe his name was Wallace, a poet, first said this, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Mom, you have great, tremendous influence on your children. Don't ever feel like you have no worth. When you look at this passage in 2 Timothy with Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and mom of Timothy, the words that I see is transferable faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? But I want you to know that faith also comes through transference. You living out your faith day by day in front of your children is one of the greatest lessons your children will ever get. Your faith will transfer to your children. And I would say this, let God influence you so that you can better influence your children. The last thing I'd like to say together, thanks, Mom, for serving Him. Thanks, Mom, for serving God. Mom, never underestimate your value and your influence. I would say this. There's no greater calling than being a mother to your children. I want you to bow your heads. I want to pray for our moms. Pray for our homes. Pray for our children. We're just going to pray for the family unit. We'll start with Mom. And then we're going to sing a song together and give away some prizes. But right now, heads bowed, eyes closed. Moms, let me say it again. Don't underestimate your value, your worth, and your influence. The things that you're doing day in and day out is making a difference in the lives of your children. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus for every mom in the house, every mom that is watching on the TV screen. God, I pray that you strengthen that mom. Lord, I pray that you do a great work in her and that great work would move through her and be passed on to her children in the house. And then after the children have left the house, there will still be that connection and that influence that will be there. It will shift a little bit, but God, thank you for the influence of a mom that continues. Father, thank you for those moms that are looking well to the ways of their household, caring for the place that you're giving them and caring for the people that are in that place. God, thank you for the strength and the honor that clothes that strong, virtuous wife. God, would you let strength and honor clothe every woman here in this house? Father, would you strengthen the relationships between mom and her husband, between mom and her children? Father, could every home here just be a refuge, a place of safety, a place of peace and joy and hope and laughter, comfort? Father, I pray that every home represented in here would be a home that is looked forward to walking into. And then, Father, again, for those today that are hurting a little bit, maybe hurting a lot, missing mom, or maybe there's a mom who's missing a child, Father, I pray for the hurting mom, and I pray that the strength of your spirit and the peace that your spirit gives would be hers. I pray that you would draw near to her and comfort her the way that she would comfort her own child. Father, we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. And the church says amen and amen. Would you sing this with Braden? Just came out of the Following Jesus series, and we use that passage, for the Lord said, why do you call me master or Lord and not do the things that I tell you? And then it goes on to say that those that do the things that Jesus taught, they build their life on the firm foundation, just what we sang about. Moms, dads, I want to encourage you, hang on to the things Jesus taught. Build your life on the solid rock called Jesus. Amen? Amen. Give him a good hand. Would you do it?
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.